Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. As I say every week, I will tell you again that if you ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, there's no charge for those. They are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. Whenever you write, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we gather around your word today and around the Bible. Lord, as we continue our journey through the book of Revelation, Father, we ask for the Spirit of God to give us enlightenment today as we continue this journey. Lord, today we enter into a very interesting portion of your word as we study Babylon in the book of Revelation. So, Lord, I pray that you'll take the message and use it. Lord, maybe there'd be somebody today that tunes in that doesn't know Christ as Savior, and we pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. So, dear Lord, take this message now. Might it be used to accomplish your purpose and your will, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. It is great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open to a new chapter that we are going to get into today. It is chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17, that's where we're going to be. But before we get there, I want to set you up for what we are about to enter into. The last time we were together in our study, we were in chapter 16, and we were looking at the vial or the bowl judgments. Those judgments, the bowls, are the last in a series of three sets of judgments that are foretold in the book of Revelation that are going to unfold during the tribulation period. You have there will be the seals, the trumpets, and then the bowls or the vials. Now, in the midst of these three sets of judgments, we looked at how many will refuse to repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of people, a lot of the earth dwellers, the earthlings of that time are going to just refuse God's offer. God is going to reach out to these people of the tribulation in many ways. There will be the two witnesses of chapter 11 that will come on the scene in the beginning of the tribulation. Then there will be the 144,000 Jewish missionary men who are going to carry the gospel across the world. Then there will be the angel that flies over the earth and proclaims the gospel. There will be another angel that foretells the fall of Babylon. There will be death over half of the world's population. There's going to be disease. There's going to be persecution. There are going to be wars. There are going to be famines. There are going to be earthquakes. There are going to be stars that fall from the sky, meteors, asteroids, loss of the water supply, loss of much of the food supply that exists in the ocean. So many different things. And then we read in verses like Revelation 16, 8 through 11, and then verse 21, we read these words. And a fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And a fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Over and over you see that they refuse to turn to God. They refuse to repent of their sins. Now, what we're about to step into today is going to help us to better understand why these people continue to reject God during the tribulation period. In chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation, we're going to see the destruction of two Babylons. In chapter 17 of Revelation, we will see the destruction of religious Babylon. And in Revelation 18, we will see the destruction of commercial Babylon. Let's begin by looking at 17:1. Watch this verse. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Okay, so here in this verse, Babylon is referred to as the great whore. And as we go through this study in these chapters, we're going to see why that is as we work our way through what is recorded here. I want you to flip over, keeping verse 1 of chapter 17 in mind, flip over to verse 18. Watch what this says. Verse 18 of that same chapter says, And a woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Okay, so there's something very interesting that we need to consider here. In this verse, 17:18, we see that the great whore is a city that will exist during the tribulation. With that said, there's something else that we need to know. Not only will Babylon be a great city during the tribulation, but Babylon will also be a religious system that exists during the tribulation and even exists today, as we shall learn. An example of how this can be, you say, well, how could it be a city and how could it be a system? Well, think about Wall Street, if you would, today. Wall Street is a place. It's a definite place in New York. But at the same time, it is the economic system of our day. In the same way, Babylon is going to be a place, and Babylon will be a religious system that will exist during the tribulation period. Now, I want to give you some history of Babylon. As we look at the history, I want to keep in mind that Babylon here, I want to keep it in mind that it's a religious system. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Listen to what it said. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Okay, so that is a command that after the waters receded from the flood and Noah and his family stepped off the ark, and there were only 8 people that existed. All the unsaved of the world had drowned. So there's 8 saved people on the earth. That's it. That's the whole world's population. They are commanded to multiply and replenish the earth. Now, let me advance you a little bit further ahead in Genesis 10, 8, 9, and 10. And here's what we read. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Okay, so here we are introduced to a man named Nimrod, and we are told in these verses that he's a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, you got to understand, he was not a hunter of animals. He didn't hunt deer, he didn't hunt elk, he didn't hunt bear, he didn't hunt moose, he didn't hunt anything like that. He hunted men. He hunted men to join him in rebellion against God. That's what he did. He is a picture of the Antichrist. He is a ruler in the world. His kingdom was in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon. Okay, get that. His kingdom was in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon. Genesis 10:10 again says, In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Genesis 11:1-9, listen to what happens. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. There's that place. That's where his kingdom is. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So here's what we have. Nimrod's leading this whole charge. It's a rebellion against God. And God had given a command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And Nimrod gathers all these people together, and they say, we will not do that. And so they begin to build this tower. The tower was what's known as a ziggurat. And that was this ziggurat here, the Tower of Babel, was the center of the first false worship system after the flood, and it was located in Babylon. These ziggurats, as they were called, were gigantic towers. Okay, now, whenever it says that they were going to build a tower that reached to heaven, they weren't trying to build a tower up to the third heaven where God existed. They were smarter than that. They knew they couldn't do that. This was just a gigantic tower. Usually, these towers were built upon a platform, and then on top of the tower, that as these towers were stepped in, they were like a pyramid. They went up into the sky, and on top of it, there was a temple that was built, and in the temple, one of the false gods which would be worshipped. This tower organization here was under the leadership of Nimrod, and as I said, it was rebelling against God. It is a false worship system, is exactly what it is. Now, when God scattered the people from the Tower of Babel, listen to this, they carried with them the false worship which was practiced at the tower. And what we see in Revelation 17, that what we're going to study here, this false worship system, is the result of what happened at the Tower of Babel. That's where it all started. Let me give you some history to show you how this religious system has even impacted our world today. What started back in Genesis at the Tower of Babel, whenever they were rebelling against God and whenever they were scattered and they carried with them this false religion, it still exists and it still has an impact today. Listen to the words of David Levy. And I quote, when God scattered the people at Babel, it did not mean the demise of the Babylonian religious system. History records that Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, became the head priestess of an adulterous system of the secret religious rituals known as Babylonian mysteries. Babylon became the fountainhead of idolatry and the mother of every pagan system that spread across the world. Semiramis supposedly gave birth to a son named Tammuz, who was miraculously conceived by a sunbeam. He was presented to the people as a savior in fulfillment of the promise made to Eve concerning her seed in Genesis 3:15. Tradition says that Tammuz was killed by a wild boar, but after the people fasted for 40 days, he was resurrected from the dead on the feast of Ishtar. This legend of a mother-son cult became part of the Babylonian mystery ritual and was quickly included in other idolatrous religious practices worldwide. The mother-son cult was headed by a priesthood that promoted salvation by means of sprinkling holy water, ceremonial cleansing, and purgatorial cleansing after death. Semiramis established an order of virgins dedicated to religious prostitution. She became known and worshipped, listen to this, as the Queen of Heaven, unquote. That's where it started. That false worship system that started there was accepted by many in the nation of Israel years later. Listen to Ezekiel 8:12-14. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for, listen to this, Tammuz. Same one. That is believed to be that false savior that was established back at the Tower of Babel. And here now, this whole false worship system has made it into Israel. Jeremiah 7:18, listen to this. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes. Listen, to the queen of heaven, and pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Israel was worshiping the queen of heaven. That's all back to Nimrod's day. So it carried forth. Now let me come into our day. In our day, we see the false worship which came from Nimrod's Babylon in the Roman Catholic religion. The worship of Mary has evolved from the worship of the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven, that's where it came from, the worship of Mary today. That's a short review of the history of religious Babylon, but you get the idea of where it came from and how it has polluted the entire world. Now, go ahead, even beyond our day, to the tribulation, and the religious system of Babylon will ramp back up and will become the one world religion of the tribulation. As a matter of fact, it will be the apostate church after the true church is raptured away. In our day today, this system still exists. And not only in the Roman Catholic Church, but in any false religion. All the false worship systems have evolved from Nimrod's Babylon, and many people have bought into the false worship systems. Now, I want to take the remaining time that we have today, and I want to explain to you the danger that exists within our world as Satan continues to use the false worship system of Babylon to lead many to hell. And that's what he's doing. Listen to this. There is a void in every man's life. In Romans chapter 1, 18 through 20, these three verses, we read these words. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, who suppress the truth. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has revealed himself to every person who has ever been born through creation. Through creation, he has revealed himself. Also through the conscience and through the law written within the heart. We all have that. Creation, you can look at creation and you know that there has to be a God. Just looking around at the way this world is made and how everything functions together. There's no doubt that there is a God. This didn't come about by a big bang. There has to be a creator. If you have a creation, there has to be a creator. And then there's the conscience. Every man has a conscience. Then every man has the law written in his heart. You see, God desires for man to act upon that truth given to him. and come ultimately to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But many, instead, they have suppressed the truth given to them, and so they have collided with the wrath of God, which takes them deeper and deeper into spiritual darkness. Let me continue, Romans 1, 21 through 25. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, because they wouldn't allow that to have the proper place in their lives, so they suppressed that truth. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Okay, so let me say this before I read verse 22. So to suppress that truth sends a person deeper into the darkness. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, that's idolatry, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They suppressed the truth of God, and when they did, they sunk deeper into the darkness, and they fell into idolatry. That's what we see today. When someone suppresses the truth of God, Satan is pleased. Listen to this. Satan is pleased to step in and sell them any false religion that they desire to lead them away from the truth. You know, you understand something? Satan doesn't care what you believe as long as you don't believe the truth. He doesn't care what you follow as long as you don't follow Christ. He don't care. He just wants you to buy into something that'll take you away from the truth. People will accept what Satan has because man has within him a void that he longs to fill. God has created man to worship, and so when man rejects God, he's going to worship. You will worship something if you reject God. It will be a false system that Satan has that has come from Babylon. If you don't worship God, you're going to be caught up in that religious Babylon somehow, some way, because you are designed to worship. And you are going to worship something. I can assure you that. Somehow, some way, you are going to be into idolatry. Now, let me talk to you about the power of the system. The power that exists today in that false worship system. Let me share with you how successful Satan is in selling a false religion to people. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Many there be which go down the path of destruction. That's the broad way. That's the way of religion. These people that are in religion are on a path that is marked this way to heaven. The sad point is that we need to see is that Jesus tells us that there are many on the path to hell. So many have accepted the false religion offered by Satan. That's the point. He's done a very good job of selling this false worship. There are many reasons why so many people are on this broad path, but one reason is because of the power of the false worship system. 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4, Paul says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." These false religions are strongholds. There are a lot of strongholds that can get a hold of you in life, but one of them is a false religion. They are strongholds, which means fortresses. Let me explain this so that you can understand it. When someone gets involved in a false worship or a false religion, they enter into what is known as a fortress that is often impossible for someone on the outside to penetrate. You can talk and reason all you want, but many times you will never penetrate the fortress. Only the Word of God can do that. That's what we need to understand, the Word of God. But I want to go back to this, that this is a fortress that they get into. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2 read as follows. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many. Many shall follow. That's how successful Satan's been. And it is so powerful. That false worship becomes a fortress. It becomes a stronghold. Another way to see the fortress of false religion is that those who get caught up in a system become trapped in the fortress, and they end up dying in the fortress, and they end up going to hell because they are stranded in there. They are bound in there. They are stuck in there. They are trapped in there. It's a fortress. It's very difficult to penetrate from the outside, and it also entraps the poor soul who has accepted the false religion. Let me give you a picture of this. These pictures are in the tribulation when the power of the false system will be much stronger, but the false system of today is still very powerful. Revelation 6:15 through 17, and the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Those people are going to be in a spiritual darkness and even realize what's going on, but yet they will not repent. The spiritual darkness of this world today is extremely strong, and if you're not saved, you're in danger of falling into a spiritual fortress that'll bind you and entrap you, and you may even die there and end up in hell. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Religious Babylon exists today, and there's no match for it, other than the Word of God. It will be far stronger in the tribulation, but I want you to know in closing that it exists today. And that's why if you don't know Christ, you need to turn to Jesus Christ before you get entrapped in that false worship system. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.